First reading is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah, verses 9b through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from the 12th chapters of Hebrews, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how shall much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of all of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
The 13th chapter. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work might be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. What's it like to live without hope? What's it like to finally decide that your dreams are beyond your abilities and to resign yourself to living without any prospect that things will ever get better? An old Alfred Hitchcock show, I'll never forget it, featured the story of an evil woman jailed for committing murders. It's a great example. The woman soon realizes that her only chance to escape is to befriend the old man who serves on as the prison undertaker. He's the only inmate who is allowed outside the prison walls. After much bribing and begging, the woman finally convinces the old man to help her escape. He tells her that next time she hears the bell toll to announce the death of a prisoner, she should slip down to the mortuary, the prison mortuary, and hide in the coffin with the dead person. He would take the coffin out the next morning and bury it in a shallow grave, and when no one was looking, he would slip back and dig up the woman and release her. What a perfect escape. Everything went as planned. On the night the woman heard the death bell, she slipped down to the mortuary and hid in the waiting coffin with the dead body. The coffin was transported outside the prison walls and buried the next day. The woman waited hopefully, anxiously, but no one came to dig her up. Finally, she decided to light a match and see what was around her. It was then that she discovered that the dead body lying beneath was that of the old undertaker. Now, there is a picture of complete hopelessness. My admonition to you this day is that unless you're in a situation that is as hopeless as that woman's, it's time to begin looking at the positive side of life. It's time to look to Jesus. Jesus is the hope giver. Jesus is the dream restorer. Jesus takes people who are hanging on with clenched teeth and gives them a new and fresh beginning. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues one Sabbath day, and a woman was there who had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. The New International Version of the Bible says she was crippled by a spirit. That's an interesting phrase. I've known lots of people who have been crippled by a spirit. Some of these people, too, are bent over and cannot straighten up. I've seen girls about 12 years old develop poor posture because they literally tower over their classmates, especially the boys at that particular age. All they know is that they feel different. And when you're 12 years old, the last thing you want to be is different. So they start hunching their shoulders and crippled by a spirit of embarrassment at being taller than the other people in the class. I've seen people bend over with a sense of responsibility. Not that their responsibility is greater than anybody else's. What weighs them down is a sense of inadequacy to meet those responsibilities. The sad thing is that they're not inadequate people. Somehow along the way, they've been made to feel that way. And they go around with the weight of the world on their shoulders. You can see it in the way they walk or in the way they talk. I remember a football game many years ago between none other than the University of Alabama and some other team. It was in the Cotton Bowl, and I was still a little guy in the early days of TV. I was watching it on TV. One of the opponent's players was racing along the sideline, along the Alabama sideline, and nobody was going to catch him. He was going to score a touchdown. For one of the Alabama players on the bench, it was just too much for him. As the fleet-footed runner streaked down the sideline toward a sure touchdown, the frustrated Bama player put on his helmet, ran out on the field, and tackled the runner. It was a dumb move, a desperate move. When we have a spirit of inadequacy, when we have a senseless feeling of hopelessness and despair, we do dumb things. We sabotage ourselves at work. We sabotage ourselves in relations with others, sometimes with the people who love us the most in this world. And we sabotage the happiness that is our God-given right. This woman had been crippled for 18 years by a spirit. Then Jesus saw her. What an exhilarating thought. Jesus saw her. Here's the answer to our feelings of helplessness and despair. Jesus knows our situation. Many people are bent over, not physically perhaps, but emotionally or spiritually. Some are bent over with a spirit of inadequacy and defeat. Others are bent over because they have experienced genuine trauma in their lives. Some of us have a rainbow of hurt in our hearts. We live in fear of the future, or our health is uncertain, or our jobs are endangered. We're coping with family matters that are weighing us down more than people around us can even imagine. But here's the good news. Jesus knows. We have a friend who cares about our situation. What a friend we have in Jesus. Even more important, Jesus has the power to lift the burdens from our back. Jesus can set us free. Max Lucado tells about his boyhood days of playing football out in West Texas in the fields where it was full of grass burrs that stuck to your skin when you hit the ground. They stung horribly. The game literally came to a stop when one of the players hit the ground so they could remove the burrs. Max trusted no one but his father to pull out the burrs. So he would leave the game and get his father to pull out every last burr, and then he would return to the game. Folks, there are burrs that only our Father can remove. Fortunately, God has removed them. We trust ourselves to Him. Jesus knows our needs, and Jesus has the power to lift burdens from our back. Luke tells us that when Jesus saw this poor woman, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. And what did she do? She praised God. Jesus can give us what we need to cope with our different situations and our difficult situations. He can lift our burdens and strengthen our backs. He has forgiven our sin and given us the gift of eternal life in heaven. Is that something that you can share with other folks? Is that something that you will share with other folks? It's good news. Jesus loves little old you and little old me. Invite someone to worship, to hear about Jesus and what he has done for each of us and for them. That's what we're about. That's what we're challenged to do in the Great Commission. Amen.